The simulation theory is spreading and being believed by more and more people. Simulation theory is a hypothesis that what humans experience as the world is actually a simulated reality, such as a computer simulation. The theory suggests that humans are not necessarily real and tangible beings, but instead predetermined, coded constructs of the digital world we inhabit. Here's some claimed proofs that we live in a simulation. The Mandela effect, supposed claims of proof that things that we remember from our past have been changed in our present. Electrons that can't make up their mind, such as the double slit experiment, where when electrons are fired through a slit plate, when under observation, they behave different than when they're not being observed. Strange anomalies that take place and are caught on camera are also attributed to this theory. As this theory has begun to be believed by more and more people, it's started to take on a spiritual component. People are believing that the fallen ones, or the fallen angels, mentioned in the Bible, are the ones controlling this simulation. They're damned to never leave, and our purpose for being here is to transcend to the next level and break free from the matrix or simulation we're trapped in. 1 John 5:19 does tell us that Satan has some power in this world. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Satan and his evil companions' control on the world is further explained in Matthew 4:8-9, when Satan tempts Jesus with the kingdoms of the world, showing that he has some level of degree over them. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." But as in every case with a Bible verse, you have to take the whole Bible into account. While Satan may have power over certain areas of the world, God is still 100% in control of all that power. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Here is the best evidence I've found that people have put forth that we live in a simulation, that the universe follows mathematical laws, and that we now create simulated realities within video games and artificial intelligence. So if we do it on a small scale, maybe it's happening to us on a larger scale. The belief that mathematics, ecosystems, and the universe is so complex that we have to be in a simulation actually proves the only obvious explanation, that everything in existence is too complex and too perfect to not have an intelligent designer. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We may be able to create computer systems, artificial realities, artificial intelligence, but this is nothing in comparison to all the earth and how it works, or all the universe. This proves that there is one creator, one God, above it all. The last few chapters in the book of Job describe this perfectly. Job is confused about the hardships that have come upon him. He feels that he hasn't sinned to a degree to warrant such harsh circumstances from God. In Job's questioning of God's justice, God responds perfectly not only to Job, but as well as to anyone who could believe that we could create something similar to what God has created. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, 'This far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt.'" This dialogue of God explaining his hand and his hand alone perfectly in all of creation continues on in 38, 39, 40, and 41 in the book of Job, if you'd like some more examples. The idea of some unknown God that's responsible for everything is nothing new. When Paul visited Athens, he saw the multitude of false gods they worshipped. They even had an altar to a god who they hadn't known yet. Since they hadn't known the truth about the one and only true living God, Paul used this opportunity and this example to explain it to them. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth." This claim that fallen angels or fallen entities control the simulation leads people into believing many lies. It teaches you that you are a god, on the path to ascend above the simulation or the matrix. This is obviously the exact same lie that Satan told Adam and Eve, that you can be like God. It teaches that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, but someone who ascended above the simulation. You think it mentioned that somewhere in the 66 books of the Bible that all point to Jesus, but it doesn't. What those books actually do point to is that anyone who denies the biblical truths about Jesus, which are historically and prophetically proven to be accurate, is operating from the spirit of Antichrist. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This theory also gives the fallen ones and Satan more control than they really have. Jesus is the one with all the power and authority, and Satan and his angels and all his evil companions, their destination is complete destruction. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Romans 1 says that all creation proves the existence of God. It also goes on to describe the type of people who reject this truth for lusts, for idols, for any other various reasons, including wild, untrue theories. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Genesis 1 describes creation, and the rest of the Bible describes how we've gotten to this very point and what's to come in the future. We don't live in a simulation, we live in a creation. And the only way to experience salvation in this life we're experiencing and in the next life to come is through Jesus Christ. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.